This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hello and welcome to The Stand with Eamon Dunphy. Now, for the last two decades, the two great Spanish soccer teams, Real Madrid and Barcelona, have been dominant forces in European football. And indeed, when it comes to La Liga, the Spanish league, they are the clubs that usually contest the league, and they're always favoured to be in the latter stages, if not winning the Champions League, at least being the biggest obstacle to anybody who had ambitions to win it. But all that has really changed. Barcelona, the club has almost collapsed. It's a shambles. Lionel Messi has left. The club are broke. The players have taken a pay cut. And just hours before the transfer deadline, they were forced to sell Antoine Griezmann, who they had bought from Atletico Madrid for a huge fee, and sell him back to Atletico for about 50 million less than they paid to buy him. So that's a bad mess. Real Madrid also, this close season, were banking on signing Kylian Mbappe from PSG. They had a fire sale, got rid of some players to get the money, but Mbappe has decided to stay at PSG for the moment. We're joined now from Barcelona by Richard Fitzpatrick. Richard is an Irish journalist working in Barcelona and working on the football in particular for us. Richard, it's been a dreadful summer for Barca. Real Madrid appear to be in better shape financially, but they still are not the force or expected to be the force that they were before. Let's start with Barcelona, Richard. It's a total mess, it looks like.
Oh, Eamon, look, it's dramatic. I think the thing that's most alarming for Barca fans is the speed of the decline. It was only 2 years ago they romped to the La Liga title, their 10th in 15 seasons. They were 19 points ahead of Real Madrid. 3 days later, they were 3-0 up against Liverpool in the semi-final of the Champions League. In stoppage time, Messi rolls the ball to Dembélé. All he had to do was pass it into the net, and they were into the final of the Champions League, effectively. He missed, and then we all know what happened. 4-0 at Anfield. They panicked that summer. They went into the market, bought Griezmann, as you said, spent 120 million plus a 15 million fine they had to pay for tapping him up. They bought De Jong as well that summer, over 200 million in spend. Then they got trounced the following summer in a deferred Champions League quarterfinal against Bayern Munich, 8-2, an infamous night. A few days later, Messi fires off his famous bureau fax requesting to leave the club. They were a shambles that season, again ceding the league title. Atletico won it last May. And for the first time in 13 years, they didn't get into the quarterfinals of the Champions League. And then, of course, this bombshell this summer, they lose Messi. The fans in the city are distraught. It's like the five stages of grief they're going through. The shock, anger, frustration, they still haven't come to terms with that, and they won't for a long time. The club's finances are obviously in disarray. We've spoken many times about it, but it's been made real now with the loss of Messi and the fire sale, as you suggest, of Antoine Griezmann in the last day of the transfer window. Their debt is before the transfer window closed was at 1.3 billion. The problem is that a lot of it is short-term debt. Other clubs around Europe have debt, big debt burdens as well, like Real Madrid, about 900 million, but Real Madrid's debt is long-term. They've been refurbishing their stadium. But like, for example, Barca still owe 80 to 85 million to Messi for deferred payment on his contract. And he's at PSG now. It's so embarrassing and so difficult for the fans to stomach. So they just made a bags of it.
Yeah.
Dreadful mismanagement. And the big, big mistake they made was picking a fight with PSG. And we could go into that.
Yeah, well, PSG... of course, it's owned by the Qataris, and I think they dealt very swiftly with Perez, the president of Real Madrid, this week when they didn't even answer his letter, and when they said that it was no good fighting them with money because they had more money than anyone else. Just to go back to Barca, the players were on fantastic contracts there. I think the average contract was 12 million a year right throughout the squad, and that has to stop. They've taken a pay cut, as I understand it. The person who appears to be collateral damage here is Ronald Koeman. Koeman is a highly respected person in football throughout Europe, and in Barcelona he is the scorer of the winning goal in the European Cup, as it was then called, final in extra time, when Cruyff was there and Guardiola was around. He has been, as I understand it, offered a one-year contract, but it's very, very tentative, and there's no guarantee that he'll be there for too long either.
No, not at all, because he'll be defined by what he does on the field. It was a poison chalice, obviously, when he took over 12 months ago. He said he couldn't resist it. All his management career had been leading towards this moment. So he stepped out of the Netherlands job, which was, you know, yep, in football terms, a nice job with a good team, good prospects. But you know, club football is where it's at, and that, his heart really was. He's always, even though he left Barca as a player in the mid-90s, he's retained an apartment here. He's always loved the city, as a lot of ex-players do. They love the place. So he wanted to come back despite all the challenges. And he didn't have a good managerial record, certainly at club level. You know, it was a mixed bag.
Yes.
But he's done okay, given the circumstances. Definitely he's been a good presence to have at the club. He's been a spokesman all last season, where in a vacuum, there wasn't anybody else coming out to bat for the club. The previous president, Josep Maria Bartomeu, resigned in disgrace last October. So there was a void there that Koeman filled. He'd lost a lot of key players, most noticeably Luis Suarez, who the club sold to Atletico Madrid, and it cost them basically a league title.
He walked away for nothing, didn't he?
Yeah, and I mean, the Barca continued to pay 40% of his salary last season, even though he scored 21 goals, delivered a league title to them. And it's a lesson they haven't learned. They did the same thing with David Villa in 2013, and Atletico won the league title in 2014 with Villa and his goals. So Koeman, yeah, has, you know, he's stepped up to the plate. He's done as much as he can in a difficult situation. He's brought in a lot of rigor and discipline into the squad as regards training and making more demands on the players. He's got, like you say, every newspaper report here in Catalonia refers to him as the hero of Wembley. He's got huge credit in the bank.
Yeah, that was 92, wasn't it?
92, if their first European Cup win. So he has authority in the dressing room. He's stood up toe-to-toe with Messi, which no previous coach had done.
Yeah, can I ask you about that, Richard? I read that when he came in, one of the first things he did was get Messi to come back from his holidays, I think, for a meeting. And at that meeting, he said, or at least inferred, that Messi would be treated just like every other player and there'd be no exceptions made. Did he really do that? And was it wise to talk to Messi in that way?
Yeah, it was a great it was a great example of what has been missing at the club. He did have that face to face meeting with Messi, and he told him those things that, you know, there won't be any more favors. You'll have to buck up. The Messi had been a kind of a silent dictator in the club because of the power vacuum. The president was extremely weak. He gave him these extraordinary contract renewals, which you could argue he warranted because of his goals and also because of the brand, you know, value he brought. You know, all the sponsors have been rushing to the gates since he's left. So that's a huge factor in his in the power he wielded at the club. He got on very well with Koeman, Messi. He respected that authority, and that's what was missing. Somebody needed to stand up to him. So that's, we've often seen this at these super clubs, that these managers, ex super players like Zidane at Real Madrid, they have this incredible force of personality or authority, that unspoken authority, which works or is needed. Messi, you know, with previous coaches, he treated them like you know, club employees. So that relationship worked well. Koeman isn't a modern coach, like, so there's you know, he's the team isn't playing very well. It was Messi who dragged them through from December to April last season. They were playing very well, but it was Messi was the force behind those good results. So Koeman now is left with a threadbare squad. You know, he has a good at starting 11, but he's very weak after that.
Now, can we safely write them off this year in terms of Champions League and all of that?
Oh, Champions League, definitely. Even Koeman was saying it last season, they weren't up to, you know, a Manchester City, Chelsea, Liverpool, PSG, Bayern Munich. They're, you know, a different level.
Right. Now, Real Madrid, Perez has been the president forever. He is one of the brains behind the proposed European Super League, along with Barcelona and Juventus are the other, the third club that are holding out, and they're going to law to the European Court of Justice, I've read. And by the way, Richard, in passing, if anyone thinks the Super League is dead, I think they'll win in the European Court of Justice. The Bosman ruling... the Bosman ruling states that under European law, football is a business, not a sport. In other words, you can make whatever arrangement you want, and you can't be held to sporting rules and arrangements. And that's what the other clubs in the Super League have backed off, particularly the Premier League clubs. But that could still happen. But that's another day's work. Let me ask you about their pursuit of Kylian Mbappe from PSG, who is regarded, along with Erling Haaland at Dortmund, they are regarded as the two great young players in the game right now, who will go on to be legends. It remains to be seen, I think, in Mbappe's case in particular, whether that happens. But they held a fire sale. They accumulated 200 million to try and buy Mbappe or Haaland, but they had no luck.
Yeah, it was absolutely riveting soap opera here in Spain, in particular over the last 2 weeks, watching Florentino take on PSG and in his most difficult negotiation in football terms in his career. He has been famous for poaching these Galactico players. Zidane from Juventus didn't want to sell him back in 2001. Ronaldo from Inter Milan a year later. Figo most notoriously from Barca in 2000, yes, which caused a huge crisis at Barca for three or four years. And then Ronaldo, he infuriated Alex Ferguson. You know, Alex Ferguson said, "I wouldn't sell that club a virus," but he poached Cristiano Ronaldo in the end from United. So, but this is a different kettle of fish. He was trying to lure a player from a club that is backed by, as Al Thani, the Emir of Qatar, says, is the richest football club on the planet. They didn't even, it was hilarious, that Real Madrid put in three transfer bids for Mbappe, 160 million, 180 million, 200 million over a period of seven, 8 days. The club didn't even respond to the transfer requests. We should explain to listeners that Mbappe's contract runs out next June.
Yeah, so he can walk.
He can walk. Exactly. 1st of January next year, he can negotiate a deal with the club. So this is unheard of in the football landscape, that a club would effectively throw away 200 million. But they're playing by different rules, and that's what they've made clear. So the Emir of Qatar, he wants to hold on to Mbappe for the season, and understandably he can watch Mbappe, Neymar and Messi up front next season. It'll be good fun. But let's see what happens with that transfer. You know, other clubs will be lurking next season as well for his transfer. Maybe things go well with Messi. Maybe they win a Champions League. He stays at the club, so that's up in the air. But Florentino, it was really, really interesting to observe it, because Florentino has been very, very careful and very cautious over the last few years not to antagonize PSG. About a year, or maybe it was a year and a half ago, he released a statement. The club released a statement saying that they weren't trying to secure Mbappe. And there have been reports in the Spanish press that they were after Mbappe. He's never come out and made an apology like that as spokesperson for the club. But he knew he didn't want to get into trouble with PSG, like Barca made the mistake of doing that. Barca threw the Qatari state out as their club sponsors back in 2015. Because they were unhappy with their, as they described it, the social issues in the country. And then they were tapping up Verratti, PSG's midfielder. And then, of course, there was the 6-1 defeat in the Champions League in 2017, a very embarrassing defeat. The chairman of PSG was at that game. He walked out of the stadium early. He was infuriated. Fast forward 3 months, they jumped for Neymar. For 222 million, stole Barca's one of their franchise players. And that created all the problems for Barca, the huge inflation. Messi's contract was renewed in November 2017, a contract for 4 seasons of 555 million, like twice what Cristiano Ronaldo was being paid at Real Madrid. And all the other Barca players on the squad went looking for contract increases as well, which caused big inflation at the club, and then the pandemic hit. So Real Madrid and Florentino avoided those problems. They were very cautious over the last 18 months. They didn't buy anybody the summer before last, first time in 40 years, you know, quietly sold off a few of their players. They let Sergio Ramos go this summer and at the end of his contract. And they were bankrolling this money, 200 million to swoop for Mbappe.
Yeah, the departure of Sergio Ramos is interesting, very significant, I would have thought. Ramos has been the captain. He's been a force in the club for a very long time now. He is the boss in the dressing room and a favourite of the fans. And the idea that Florentino Perez could just boot him out. It certainly shows conviction, whether it's wise or not. And of course, who has Sergio Ramos gone to?
PSG.
Yeah. And now Ramos is aging. He's 35, is he?
Correct.
Yeah, but he is a mighty leader on the pitch and has been one of the greatest ever Spanish icons, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it was big news here at the start of the summer in June when the club let him go. It was funny. It was a power play between Florentino and Sergio Ramos. Ramos had been dragging his feet all season, refusing an offer of a contract renewal. The club gave him an offer of, he's 35, as you say, they gave him an offer of one more year, which they'd been doing with the likes of Luka Modric, all these players in their 30s. It's common practice at clubs, once a player goes over 30, they gave him an offer of 1 year more, less 10%, and he wanted 2 years more at the same salary yes. level. And it was gas in March in Marca, in the big sports newspaper here in Spain and in Madrid. They published a story saying that Ramos had until the end of March to accept the deal, or the deal was being taken off the table. Ramos didn't. His brother is his agent. The Ramos family did nothing. Then they came out in June. Realized that Florentino wasn't going to cave into their demands, and they said, okay, we'll take the 1 year at 10% less. And Florentino said, tough luck, guys, that deal expired 2 months ago. So Ramos was distraught. He made a tearful press conference at the club, and he was out the door, and he's gone to PSG, as you say. Let's see how that works out. Like he has been dialing it in at Real Madrid for the last few years. Yes. He's been really good in the Champions League, but in the league, you know, they haven't been very competitive for many, many years. And he had a knee operation in March. He played two league games in 2021. So he's a problem for PSG, or, you know, his personality. That they've got these big egos now in that club. Neymar, yeah. Ramos, Messi, yeah. in his own way.
So not to mention the Emir of Qatar.
Yeah.
I'd say he's got a fair sized ego. Just another very significant departure from Real Madrid is the coach Zinedine Zidane, winner of three Champions Leagues in it on the trot, a legend as a player, and had done a fantastic job for Real. Did he go voluntarily? And you've got Carlo Ancelotti there now, a very, very good coach who is hugely respected in the game. And he's been in Madrid before, I think, and he'll know what to expect in the circus.
Yeah, I mean, the departure of Zidane was dramatic. He scorched earth when he left a day or two after he resigned. He published an open letter in Diario AS, the other big sports newspaper in Madrid, giving out about the way he was treated at the club by the press, and alluding to leaks from Florentino. You know, they've had a father-son relationship for 20 years. So it was really, he was really, really upset. And it was unusual, because Zidane normally keeps his counsel. So that was an amazing development. He's burnt his bridges now effectively with the club, so long as Florentino is president. And he had come back famously in March 2019, rescuing Florentino during a bad spell for the club when he came back for a second time as coach. So that was, you know, very disappointing for Real Madrid fans. He's an absolute icon because of his playing career and his managerial career at the club. So fans were very upset about that situation. Carlo Ancelotti has come in. As you say, he's an incredible CV as a manager, Champions League titles with Milan, two of them, another one with Real Madrid in his previous tenure as coach. He had been moving down the ladder a bit. Obviously, he'd been at Everton before, so he's not the force he was, but he's still a steady hand, very very, very popular with the players and the press. He's a really good man manager.
Yes.
So he's, you know, he's come into a good situation domestically in Spain, because Barca are obviously in chaos, and Atletico won the league title last year, but they haven't retained the league title since the early 1950s. And Luis Suarez is very doubtful this season. He's going to be 35 in January. He's had two serious knee surgeries in the last few years, so he will struggle this season. He started his first game last weekend, and he was icing his knee when he came off. So
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Just while we're talking about injuries and illnesses, let me ask you, Richard, there's many Irish people planning holidays in Spain, or at least aspiring to a Spanish holiday, even though the children are back at school now. What's the COVID situation in the country?
Yeah, it's similar to the trends across Europe. The infection rates have been tipping up all summer, particularly among the young people. The vaccine has been a huge success, the rollout. I think it's their first or second in the world for vaccine take-up. So they've the really good public health system that rolled out that vaccine. So that was a really good operation. They've always been pretty bullish about tourism. So they've been doing antigen testing at the airports, trying to encourage tourists to come in. Still, if you look around, it's blood on the tracks. Like, there's so many restaurants and bars that have been shuttered and haven't opened in over the last year. But the feeling is that they're moving forward, and businesses are open. I know, like, just for example, I lecture in sports at a university for American students. They're coming back in again next year. So that's a kind of measure of how open things are. They're optimistic, but who knows how the pandemic will proceed. Like, we've seen what's happening in America and stuff. So
if you're lecturing American students, Richard, I would wear my face mask, protective clothing, body armor. Just a final thought. These two clubs, Barcelona and Real Madrid, have delighted us so long, In the case of Real Madrid, it goes back forever. But it's hard to see in the circumstances they're in that either of them will be a force in the Champions League this year.
Yeah, I think in the Champions League they will struggle. Real Madrid, like their front three is Hazard, Bale, Benzema. Benzema is still fantastic. Yeah. But the other two they've played three league games now in La Liga, and they haven't. Both of those players haven't been playing well.
Ancelotti will rehabilitate Bale or try to, won't he? Because Zidane wouldn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah, that's very true. But the thing with Bale is his body. That's what has failed him over several years. So even at last year at Spurs, he was, you know, scored 15 or 17 goals, which would have been twice as much as the likes of Vinicius or Asensio at Real Madrid. That's what the Spanish press are saying. But still, those goals were in Europa League in the lesser games. He wasn't scoring against the big six. He's 1 year older now this season. So they've still got a good starting 11, very, very strong midfield, and they've shedded Ramos and Varane at the back, but David Alaba, who's come in from Bayern Munich, has been really good. He was a good buy. They got him on a free transfer.
Yes.
So they got to the semi-final last year. They beat Liverpool in the quarter-final. So they'll be competitive, but they're a shadow of the team 5 years ago because of the age profile and without Cristiano Ronaldo.
Okay, Richard. Well, I'm very grateful to you for joining us. Mind yourself around those American students, because COVID is running wild through much of that country.
And, yeah.
We don't want to lose a good contributor.
Thanks. We make sure to keep the windows open.
Okay, thanks very much. That's Richard Fitzpatrick in Barcelona with news of what was, for 20 years, really the greatest league in the world and the most wonderful football that we've seen from two giant clubs who are now, and certainly in Barcelona's case, stricken. That's all we have time for. We're grateful to Richard, to all of you for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.